This is Wake Up Call,
another kind of daytime radio program.
A Gal Media property. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Wake up!
And thanks for joining us. Wednesday morning is Wake Up Call. Tony D, Ron Culver. On Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. Ron with two N's, please, if you're going to hit us up. So I know I'm getting older. I know. I got a kid who's going off to college next year. But whenever I hear a team talk about glory days, I always think that should be before my time. I should be thinking about, I should be getting my dad to get in a room and saying, tell me about their glory days. Or anybody like that. I don't feel like I should have been part of glory days, let alone getting married during a team's glory days. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers have changed their uniforms. They're done with that sort of alarm clock look that they've had. They've now gone with a brand new, a look that is reminiscent of the glory days of the Tampa Bay Buccaneer franchise. Now, are we talking about the 70s with the creamsicle uniform? Oh, no. When John McKay was asked famously about his team's execution, he said, I'm all for it. When they were that bad, that terrible. Although they did make an NFC championship game with Doug Williams losing to the Rams in 1980. However, the glory days of the Buccaneers are at the time when Trent Dilfer was their quarterback and Mike Allstott was running the football and John Lynch was playing defense along with Warren Sapp. And they were a team to be reckoned with in the old NFC Central. Remember with the Lions and the Packers and the Bears? From 1997 to 2013, and also their Super Bowl championship, the Buccaneers uniforms of that pewter look with the red and the white, that's what they're going back to. That's the glory days of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, starting in 1997. Now look, I know 1997 wasn't yesterday, all right? But when you talk about glory years, I'm kind of thinking 50s, 60s, 70s at the earliest. Not most recently, within my child's lifetime, that they won a Super Bowl. But that's the Buccaneers organization. They don't really have a lot of history. They're not one of the original franchises in the NFL. And there was a time where the Buccaneers went from kind of a laughingstock in this league to a powerful force in the NFC, finally going to a Super Bowl and winning it back in 2003. But they got the uniforms now to prove it.
You're listening to Wake Up Call, presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, glad you could be with us again. Wake Up Call, you're on SB Nation Radio. So, I was just talking about the Buccaneers and their new uniforms, and they're going back to the 97.
Their new old uniforms?
Yeah, the new old uniforms. Which, look, here's the thing. If you're a team and you're allowed to create a new look, because the league doesn't really want you changing looks all the time. I think you whatever uniforms you have, I think it's a 5-year window you got to use it for, and then you can go back to redesigning it. If you're the Buccaneers, I mean, yeah, there is I guess this is a glory year situation. They were really good in the late 90s and finally breaking through to win a Super Bowl. They were a team that was they'd get to like the NFC title game and they would lose because a lot of times they were playing like the Eagles in cold weather or whatever, and but, you know, they had a really good team. I mean, Tony Dungy, you know, was putting together a good team, and then they got John Gruden and finally won a Super Bowl. But if you're an organization that has an opportunity to get out of a look and into a look, how tempted are you to just go with a whole brand new look? Just a whole different color scheme, whole different everything. Because that's exactly what they did. You know, the Patriots did the same thing. Broncos did it too. Where you just go, you know what? We have a logo and we want to get a new logo and we want to get a new color. We want out of this old look and into another look.
And have a third uniform, much like what the Chargers have done in the past.
Right, yeah.
Have a third uniform so they can have the creamsicle.
That's right. Yeah.
Sometimes you just got to throw the creamsicles on.
Creamsicle's cool.
It's god-awful.
But it is god-awful, but it is awesome. You know what reminds me of the Padres? Remember the Padres had that taco uniform? Remember that?
Yeah, they had the The old 1-2 color combo, if you know what I mean.
That's right. That's right. It was, you know, just looking at that going, yikes. But, yeah, kind of nostalgic. I remember, you know, Steve Garvey wearing it, you know, in the 80s when they beat the Cubs.
Remember when they when Petco Park or the Padres hosted the All-Star game? And the All-Stars wore those colors?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Nice. But every now and then, you know, the NFL said that they remember because they would have these throwback days. Remember the NFL would do these throwback uniform days. Then they stopped because the helmets, right? The helmets, they just said, no, we're not, you know, we don't want you to wear different helmets. Your helmet that you have that's fitted for you has to stay fitted for you.
I thought more because of the Bumblebee uniform. Yeah,
well, I thought it was too. I thought, listen, we rolled out some really, really crappy looks. We don't want to do that again.
Like, weren't the Jets, didn't they do that once and they were blue?
Yeah, the blue, like blue and goldish, I think. Yeah. Not quite Notre Dame-ish, but.
And you're sitting there looking at them like, completely. Jets, what are you doing? Stick with green.
And then the Packers had something when back in the old days that looked really, back when they were like, whatever they were, you know. Ugh.
I mean, at least the Steelers' Bumblebee uniforms were still on point with the colors.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. But you didn't have to go back to like 1920 with these throwbacks, right?
Back, you know, a few years.
Yeah, if you're the Broncos and you go back to the orange with the orange D crush with the Bronco, that's fine. I like that of the Minuteman logo. That's what I'm talking about. You don't have to go back into the archives to the black and white photos before the forward pass and start creating those uniforms. Like, I don't care about that. I don't want to see those. Yikes. You know, I want to see something that I used to see, but I don't see anymore. Those are the teams that should have throwbacks, right? I mean, the Giants logo was an NY, then it was Giants, then it's now NY again. Maybe go back to the Giants. I mean,
right.
I mean, that's fine. But they're just, you know, Cowboys, right? I mean, now the Cowboys had like, they always had the star, but their uniform was like one tone. Like they had a different, like the uniforms they wear now are not the same look like Staubach and Danny White and those guys had. So they went back to a little bit more of a different color, but that's nothing. I mean, you know, when you go back, I want to see the Patriots and the Minuteman, like of the John Hanna, Steve Grogan days.
Red jersey.
That's what I want to see. You know, Buccaneers and the creamsicle. That makes a ton of sense.
I think all of them should always have a third jersey, and the NFL should do that every once in a while. It's just like, hey, you remember when your team was good?
Yeah.
Like maybe, you know, wear the uniform of your first Super Bowl trip.
Yep.
You know, some teams obviously you can't.
I was dating my wife in St. Petersburg in 97 when the Buccaneers got good. And it was amazing to live down there because the Buccaneers had been bad like for so many years. And when we were the opening weekend of the NFL, my fiance now wife and I were driving down there and we heard on the radio that the Buccaneers had beaten San Francisco, which was a pretty good team at the time. And she was blown away because she was like, wow, they beat San Francisco. Like, you weren't supposed to beat San Francisco. And that whole season, that 97 season with Trent Dilfer at quarterback and again, Mike Allstott and Warwick Dunn, and I mean, the list goes on of the great John Lynch, the great players that they had put together was really, I mean, it felt like this fan base that was kind of buried was just kind of coming to, you know, just pouring out and being just genuinely enthusiastic. And it was weird because I grew up in New England where sports radio was about complaining about the teams when they didn't live up to expectation, right? So you would revel in the goodness of a team, but then you'd be really sharp and critical and saying, this has got to change and they can't do that. And this coach needs to reevaluate this. And it was, you know, a sharp fan criticism of the thing you were really passionate about. So I went down to the Tampa Bay area and I would be listening and it was just happiness. But there was one guy, and he would say, okay, but this isn't going to work. Like, the way they're playing is really great, but this has got to change. Or they're not going to go to the Super Bowl. Or they're not going to go far in the playoffs. And the people would respond by going, can we just enjoy this? Like, can we just enjoy this? Yes, they're winning. Yes, they may not be looking great, dominant in winning, but they're winning. Their wins are piling up. They're going to make the playoffs. They're going to contend in this division. But he would always say, look, you want to beat Brett Favre? You want to beat the Packers? They've got to do this, and they got to do this, and they got to do this. And it was this weird combination because I wasn't used to it. Because I, you know, again, my father was from New York. I grew up in New England. That region of the country, you can include Philadelphia in it too. Fan pain is always part of the equation, right? Fan lament is always part of the equation. It's never everything's roses. It's always everything's roses, but when the other shoe drops, I want heads to roll. If they don't win a Super Bowl, if they don't take this to the furthest they can possibly, World Series, whatever, I'm going to be livid. That's the kind of way, you know, northeastern part of the country, that's kind of the way they've always dealt with their sports teams. And it was just bizarre to listen to people go, I just like this. I want to hear nothing but good. I want to hear nothing but great. I want to hear nothing about how awesome this team is. And they didn't make, you know, they didn't make it. They didn't make it to the Super Bowl in 97, but they started to build a team. They really were building a team that eventually turned into John Gruden leading them to a championship. And now they got Tom Brady. So a combination of Tom Brady and a brand new look. It must be feeling like it's a like Groundhog Day. You know, in Tampa, a feeling of, well, maybe, all right, maybe we should have those same feelings that we had in the early 90s. I remember when I was working down there for one of my minor league basketball play stops, we unfortunately had our season opener on the day that the Buccaneers were playing the Philadelphia Eagles, I think it was the Eagles in a playoff game. And we were just so, we had worked so hard to build up enthusiasm for the product and enthusiasm. We had the opening gate home opener, and the opener fell on a playoff day. It was so depressing. It was like, oh man, we gave away all these tickets. But now we tried to, there was an idea of like wheeling in a television. So people go, I was like, don't do that. Just play the stupid game and let's just regroup. Let's regroup for another day. But it was, you know, it's a franchise that doesn't have a lot of history. It doesn't have a lot of that's one of the reasons why Brady going down there is weird to a lot of people. It's hard to see for a lot of people because he's not going to some iconic NFL franchise.
Well, I mean, it's also hard to look at them as being winners.
Yeah.
Even though, like you said, the uniforms are going back to, that was their glory days. They had a good run right there. But I still, you and I both have issues. You know, we'll look at the Buccaneers and like, no, that's, you know, that their fans put paper bags over their heads.
Yeah, they were a god awful team. I mean, really were a historically famous god awful team.
When I was a kid, and when you've got that brand new NFL video game, whatever it might be, that was the team you chose to play against.
Yeah, right.
Just to make sure that you knew you could win that first game you played.
I mean, they haven't been to the playoffs since 2006.
Yeah.
Like put that in perspective. We had 8 years of Barack Obama, and he never got to watch them in the White House go to the postseason. That's terrible. That's terrible. Winning a Super Bowl is hard, so I don't fault a franchise for only getting one in its existence or two, but you got to make the playoffs every now and then.
Yeah, I don't fault any franchise for only getting to one Super Bowl,
right,
Tony.
Right, right, exactly. Yeah, not very many can go to seven, you know, or eight. but you gotta go. I mean, you've got to at least go to the postseason every now and then. It's not too much to ask that in a 13-year window you make one run in the division,
or you just happen to fall into it.
Yeah.
I mean, every team. I mean, you can think about even the Browns fell into it a couple of times.
Going to the postseason, like, you don't have to go 13-3, right? Go 9-7 and just have you, oh my goodness, look at that. We won the right games, right? We're 9-7 and we won the right games in those 9 wins and we got the 6th seed in the wild card.
Yep.
Or we won 10 and we landed the wild card. That's fine. Lose in the opening round, I don't care. But you got to go. You have got to go to the playoffs. 2007. God. What was the Browns? 2002 was the last time they went to the playoffs? That's embarrassing.
Yeah.
You got to go to the postseason. Give me a break.
Nah, the Browns made it. Didn't they make it?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, I thought they did.
I think 2002 was their last appearance. Right, I think. I'll have to double check, but I think. Because I lost to the Steelers. I know that. They were leading the Steelers in that game, and the Steelers came back and won it. Then went on, and they lost to the Titans the next week. But the Browns played really well in that game. But that was the last time I remember the Browns being in the playoffs.
Yeah, 2002.
2002. So Buccaneers, 2007. Browns. Hey, yeah, you're worse, Cleveland. But we've already ripped you apart a number of times. We've laid off the Buccaneers.
Well, and that's, you know, I mean, ripping the Browns is kind of what, old hat.
Yeah, that's old hat. Everybody does it.
Can't do it anymore.
Buccaneers?
Not even fun.
You're now on our radar for being inept.
Absolutely going back atrocious. To the glory days.
Glory days of 20 years ago.
But I'm with you with the whole glory days scenario, too. It's like, yeah, that's before my time.
It should be before my time.
You know, or maybe when I was really young. Like, I can sit there and say, okay, you know, the Pittsburgh Pirates were a decent team. But I was maybe three.
See, to me, glory days usually involves some sort of like black and white reel with that over the top announcer.
Well, you can go Pittsburgh Pirates with the I don't even know what kind of hat you call that.
The little painter's cap.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, that was when we were babies, infants.
Yeah,
you know, young toddlers.
Dave Winfield and Willie Stargell.
You know, when we were toddlers. I mean, that's the Pirates' glory days.
Yeah.
Can't say the Pirates had glory days, you know, when if you're talking Barry Bonds and Bobby Bonilla, that wasn't their glory days.
That's right. Glory days. Yeah, like I said, usually glory days means I got to sit down with somebody and have them reminisce about a time before mine.
And Ken Burns is narrating.
And Ken Burns is, yes, Ken Burns is narrating, or that over-the-top announcer that's like, and the skipper brings out Lou Gehrig out to the field, and look at him go as he hits a home run, and the Yankees win it by a score of 3-2, bidding those old Boston Red Stockings once again. That's what I mean by glory days. Or look at Billy Cannon run, the LSU superstar. Look at him smile as he scores another touchdown against Ole Miss. And Tiger fans cannot stand it any longer as they stand up and cheer for good old Billy Cannon. Like, that's what I mean by glory days. Not if Joe Buck's calling your game and that's what you consider glory days, it's not glory days. That's recent history. All right, it is Wake Up Call on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, Ron with two N's on SB Nation Radio.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
O'Reilly Auto Parts will help make your auto repair, maintenance, and restoration projects easier. So when your car isn't stopping like it used to, the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts help you find the parts and supplies you need to do the job right the first time. Now for a limited time, save 15% when you buy any set of Brake Best pads and two Brake Best rotors. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. So we were talking about the Buccaneers and Tom Brady, and he's going to be getting a new uniform. We've also talked about this baseball proposal to bring sports back. So it all comes together, right? It comes together with baseball trying to come back, the NFL holding on to a calendar that they may be holding on to it by a thread because they're already starting to look at, all right, well, once the draft is over, we still can't go work out. You still can't go to – because part of the draft is this. You draft a player, and then you – boogie him over to your city so he can be introduced and shown around the facility. And then down the road, in a couple of weeks, you bring in, you know, rookie camp and mini camps and all that. But they're not going to be doing that. So the NFL calendar, which is trying to get started on time, has to deal with, all right, but, okay, what do we do with the time? How do we get everything up to speed so that we can play? Like, we can't just play. Like, the guys just can't show up a week before, throw the football around a little bit, and then suit up and go. What does it look like? How does it look? And baseball is trying to do this thing where, like, in May, we could all get in Arizona. There's a part of me that really wants this stuff to come back because I want it. I mean, it's not only because it gives us some entertainment. It gives us something to chat about. It gives us something to discuss. But I just want it because I don't want to feel like everything's being lost, right? I don't want to feel I don't want the anxiety of feeling like everything's falling apart and never coming back. I give these organizations, I was talking about this yesterday. I give these organizations a lot of credit. I give these commissioners a lot of credit. This is something they're dealing with on a day-to-day basis. With new information, they're dealing with how can we do this without wishful thinking? Like, let's really project this. All right, without saying, we're going to start in June because we believe in the American spirit. No, we're not doing that. We are coming back in June because health officials are giving us this model. We're seeing this. We're seeing this trend. We think we can. Or the trend is going in the opposite direction, and we got to put it off a little bit. I give these guys all the credit in the world. There is a part of me, though, and I want to say, Ron, it's a small part, that says to wants to say to two guys in particular, Gary Bettman and Adam Silver, maybe you should just call it a season and just call it a year and say, you know what, it's unprecedented, we're not going to be creating a round robin tournament anytime soon. Yeah. We thought about it. You were telling me earlier, Gary Bettman's pulling out of this North Dakota, New Hampshire idea.
Well, I mean, I think I don't think it's official.
Hinting at it.
But he was hinting, like, he basically, I guess he was on Scott Van Pelt last night going, you're just saying, I don't know how it'll work.
Yeah.
And literally, you have to think about it. It's like, okay, by the time we get rid of, by the time we're done under quarantine or done, you know, having a social distance, you know, once we're kind of somewhat back to normal, how much time, you know, they got to get these players. I mean, you can't just throw them out there.
Yeah.
You got to have like a little bit of a training. You're really going to do like a 2-week training camp, a 3-week training camp to get these. I mean, hopefully these players are staying in shape, but you got to get them game ready.
Do you know what this reminds me of? Do you remember the movie Volcano with Tommy Lee Jones?
Yeah.
Remember that movie? Anne Heche was in it. And
the basketball.
Yeah, the basketball. Do you remember one of the things that was appealing to Tommy Lee Jones' character was he was always thinking about fixing something, right? He was always saying, we're going to do this, we're going to do this, we're going to move the barricades, we're going to do, like he always had, but there's a moment in the movie where Anne Heche is telling him, that's going to flow this way. You got to get people out of, just to try to evacuate as many people as possible. And he's just, all of this is coming, everything is falling apart, right? Lava is shooting out every hole in the street. He's got lava that's going to pour down. And there's a moment in the movie where he goes, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do.
It's so real and refreshing.
Right. Because he had all the answers until the moment it was all falling apart. And he just goes, I don't know. And then they come up with blowing up buildings to damn it and whatnot. But there's this moment of vulnerability in the character where he's like giving up. He's like, I can't. I can only imagine that's what these guys are dealing with every single day.
Yeah.
Just the point where they're like, I can't. Well, yeah, okay, so let's do this. No, we can't because you're going to have to test players every day, and you got to take them by shuttle bus to their hotels. You got to sequester them. Well, then can we do this? No, you can't do that because if you do that, then you're going to have. I don't know what to do.
Yeah,
like, they're at that moment. Right?
I mean, they are. They're getting to that moment. They all probably thought it's like, okay, you know, we're going to go into quarantine. We'll get this wrapped up and under control.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe mid-April we'll come back and that'll be fine. We're approaching mid-April and you know, we haven't even, all counts are saying, we haven't even hit our peak yet.
Yeah. And so,
I mean, if it took us this long, then you look over in China, where China, they were under quarantine for like 3 months. The Chinese basketball associations try to get things rolling, and then they're like, no, we're probably like another good 4 to 6 weeks out.
Yeah.
And you have to take that into consideration as well, looking at it going, by the time we get back to normal, what are we looking at? What time frame are we looking at?
What are we doing? Is it okay to get the 30 owners, NBA owners together and say, guys, we're just going to have to shut this down? And
yeah, just have to call it.
It may not seem like it's right around the corner because it seems, you know, every day seems to drag out during this quarantine. But in reality, September is over there, and we could restart training camp and just start fresh. Same with the NHL. Gary Bettman could go, look, I've tried 100 different ideas, but right now, today, none of them seem to work in the window that I need it to work.
Yeah.
And just say, it's, you know, if you're baseball, I get it. You're trying to start it up. If you're football, you still have time. You still have time to see what the world is going to look like, or at least the country is going to look like by the time we get to your calendar. Yeah, you can stick to your calendar. And you can still offer that hope that we might be through this. Baseball can do the exact same thing where they could go, look, we think a July start, second half of the season, short season, longer postseason, more teams in the postseason. That seems more realistic than trying to jerry-rig something in May that may not make a lot of sense. But for the two organizations, the two sports entities that just needed to shut down, I think it's okay if they say, we just can't restart. There's no scenario. Unless, of course, one shows up that makes sense.
Wake Up Call continues now. Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
Alrighty, the good, the bad, and the dumb here on Wake Up Call, where we give you the good, the bad, and the dumb if you're new to the program. So let's start with the good,
because
we always want to feel good. We got
a couple good stories today.
Okay, good.
The good of the day. I got to give it to my man, Tiger.
Yeah, I saw that.
You know, I guess it's kind of becoming a recurring theme somehow, some way in the last 2 weeks. We've worked a Tiger into the good, the bad, the dumb.
Yep.
But
that's right.
we're finally you know, going to like back to the OG Tiger.
The OG Tiger.
Tiger Woods snaps a photo. He's having his Masters dinner. Had his Masters dinners last night, even under quarantine.
Yeah. Was that his house?
You know what? I was thinking the same exact thing when I saw that photo. If I'm not mistaken, there was a sand trap in the background.
There was. It's a golf course behind him. Now, yeah. He might have one of those practice holes in his backyard, but that looked like a real golf course.
Yeah.
Like, that looked like a clubhouse. I took the family to the local club, that's where we had
but
dinner.
But you can't. Well, it's Florida. It's right. He's in Florida, so Florida's
exactly.
Had different rules this entire time.
He should have been a little bit more precise with the photo. Like, we're cropping out anything that looks like I'm at a club. And by the way, that's a very, very nice place setting for a house.
Yes.
You know, I mean, I know rich people live a different life, but I've never put glasses upside down at my dinner table. You know, I never did that.
Well, maybe you should start.
Maybe I should. And he's also, it looks like on the side, because I'm looking at the side, and there looks like there's a dessert tray. There looks like there's a cupcake tray that's next to the boy, yeah. Charlie. Like, this was at a club. He's not doing it quarantine style. He's doing country club style.
Well, I mean, and I know there's a pool in the background.
Yeah.
Because if you look, there's a life preserver hanging. I don't know how many people...
That's
in their
right.
own home have life preservers hanging.
That's right. And there's stairs that are leading down into the pool.
Yeah, look at
that's like
investigating
a bunch of
this.
Yeah, this was at a country club. There's no question. There's no question. What's
yep.
Tiger's...
You're in trouble, Tiger.
That's right, Tig. Well done.
But one I think but I still. Do like was one of the comments, I think it might have been Jay Busby, wrote that dog has a better chance of getting an invite to Augusta than you do.
That's right. Good point. You know what? Did he say what he served at his champion's dinner, quote unquote?
No.
Did he say what he had?
No. Wasn't it going back to old school?
He was supposed to do. He had toyed with the idea before quarantine of cheeseburgers, fries, and milkshakes, like the 97 dinner, the 98 dinner, I should say, when he won in 97. He did cheeseburgers, fries, and milkshakes, which were absolutely good. It was funny because somebody said, well, they're not really cheeseburgers. They're like Angus beef cheeseburgers or, you know, with like a mushroom thing. It was, you know, delicious. But yeah, that was what he was. I heard he was toying with the idea of doing that, kind of reminiscing. But, you know, good for him. That nice family photo and his Masters jacket and his Masters trophy.
Yep.
It's good to be Tiger. There you go.
It's good to be the king.
Good to be the king. Do we have another good today?
No, that was... I'm saving some.
I saved some.
Because the bad... you and I will have some fun with this one.
All right, the bad of the day.
Yeah, there's some really bad times ahead for the mayor of Alton, Illinois.
Alton, Illinois. Is that near Chicago or near
Springfield? I don't know. I think it might just like be dead smack in the middle of Illinois. It's a small town.
Sure.
Anyways... the mayor of a small city of Alton, Illinois, warned citizens that he had ordered police to break up parties and issue citations to enforce the state's stay-at-home orders that are meant to slow the coronavirus pandemic.
Gotcha.
Right? Like every mayor is doing.
Right.
But when the officers... So one of the people that he had to issue a citation to was his wife.
Good! I'm sure that didn't go over well at the old home.
No, he actually advised them that, you know, said when he found out his wife was at a bar, I guess, serving drinks, said, you know what, treat her like you would treat anybody else.
Oh, no.
And have had her arrested and thrown in jail.
Well done.
She will have to pay a fine of some sort. I'm not sure you know, the other things that are involved with it. I'm just looking at it like this is going to make home life really tough, right?
Yeah, this is going to be really, really tough.
I mean,
this is it.
Yeah.
So I got a question about that. So are cops, do cops really want to be doing this, like arresting people for being out in public?
I don't know this, but this is what he put on his Facebook page at approximately 1 a.m. on Sunday morning. You know, that there's your red flag right there.
There
right?
you go. Right.
I was informed that the Alton Police Department was investigating and stopping a social gathering in downtown Alton that was occurring in violation of the provisions of the statewide stay-at-home order.
Okay, real quick, stop. She wasn't serving drinks like at 5 o'clock at night.
No,
it was
no, no, no.
1 a.m.
1 a.m.
Oh, okay. Well, that's different.
I was also made aware that my wife was in attendance at this prohibited social gathering. I instructed the police chief to treat her as he would any citizen violating the stay-at-home order and to ensure that she received no special treatment.
Oh, yeah.
My wife is an adult capable of making her own decisions, and in this instance, she exhibited a stunning lack of judgment.
Okay. Okay, that went too far. Okay, that went too far. You could have just end it with treat her like every other citizen.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Don't.
She now faces the same consequence for her ill-advised decision as the other individuals who chose to violate the stay-at-home order during this incident. I am embarrassed by this incident.
Oh, good Lord.
And apologize to the citizens of Alton for any embarrassment that this incident may cause our city.
Oh, good Lord.
Now, here's the deal. You and I talked about this a few weeks ago, that lawyers were kind of predicting a rise in divorce rates because
yes.
you know, couples were quarantined together.
That's
and
right.
I wanted to combat that. I wanted to say, no, I think they're wrong. This guy's not
doing... because you have a very romanticized notion of quarantine, which is
yes.
good. That's very healthy. Whereas many other people are like, wait, I never really liked my spouse in the first place, and now I really don't like my spouse.
And then there are these outliers here where this one can't... I mean, it has to head to divorce.
He is... Here, this is his window.
This is his window. We were just talking about it last segment.
Yeah.
You know, people finding their window of opportunity.
He probably said, look, I can't stand living with this woman, but we probably have too many. I don't want to get a divorce. There's no reason to get divorced. I need an opening, and saw this opening to go, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put out in a press release that I had her arrested, but then I'll make sure I drive that point home about how dumb this decision was by my wife, so she has no other choice but seek legal counsel for our separation.
Yeah.
Right?
No, it's
got to be it.
That's having salt and introducing it to wound.
Exactly. You don't have to. Yeah. Yeah. It's like, you don't have to tell us everything that's on your mind, Mayor. Oh, I got more. No. That's good enough.
This was an embarrassment.
He could have stopped at treat her like anybody else. That we get it.
Yeah. And you know, that's refreshing.
That's refreshing.
You know, no one deserves special treatment. Doesn't matter, you know, who you are.
Right.
You know, it always reminds me of the lady, I want to say she was like a senator or some congresswoman in New Jersey whose daughter was driving with expired plates.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember that story? It was a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And when she got there, she showed up because they were going to tow the car. And she got there. She's like, do you know who I am? I will have your job tomorrow. And it's like, lady, it's like your plates have been expired for like 3 years.
Yeah, exactly. They don't mess around.
What do you want us to do?
But here's the other part, right? She could counter with, okay, you said you didn't want me to be treated any differently like anybody else. Was anybody else publicly insulted by their being arrested from that social gathering? Did you put their names in a press release and talked about their poor decision making and being an adult
at 1 a.m.?
At 1 a.m. Did you do that to anybody else?
But then the argument would be, I'm a public figure.
So
it's going to be known no matter what.
Yeah, but you didn't have to insult me in a press release because you didn't insult anybody else in a press release. But you insulted me in a press release.
Hey, I'm up for re-election. I got to keep my constituents happy.
Right.
I got to show you, I got to show them that what I say goes. I mean business.
I want a reality show between this mayor and his wife now. I want to know exactly what they're talking about.
Got to know the outcome.
Oh, yeah.
How many divorce lawyers are calling them up right now.
Now they got to live together. Exactly.
You know, she's probably got an attorney because, you know, she probably has a future court date once everything is all said and done.
Yep.
And, you know, do you think the lawyer's sliding a business card? Like, listen, you know, I also do divorces on the side.
Here at Smith & Jones, we will make sure you get your rights as a man.
You know, we could give you the mayoral seat.
That's right. That's
just
right.
Just strip it from him and just give it to you.
That's meaty. That's real meaty. All right, what is the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day. You know what? You remember what we talked about yesterday in the dumb of the day? That Skynet was using drones to warn
the drone thing. Yeah,
the citizens of New York. Okay, you know what? People just don't learn. I got another story involving robots.
Don't scare me now.
The 2020 Chinese Basketball League starts on April 11th.
Okay,
right behind closed doors. The Rakuten Monkeys, that's the name of the team, just announced that they will have robot mannequins in the stands dressed up as fans.
Ew.
A tiny Taiwanese baseball team plans to have robots in the stands in place of fans when the season starts.
Why?
This weekend.
What are they doing? Are they just there just to be there so the people look like there's people watching?
Yeah, I guess so.
Are they robots? But are they going to cheer, jeer? Are they going
to? They have to be. If they're robots,
they're going to do something.
If you were just to put mannequins in the stands, that's one thing. But you're calling them, they're robot mannequins. They have movement.
So are they supposed to like wave for the hot dog guy and then
just lift up banners, lift up signs?
Yeah, business next with the guy next to him.
Why are we humanizing these guys?
No, don't.
These things.
Remember, they absorb information and then if they're they use it against us, right? No. Just plant. No. No robots. No mannequins. No. You don't need this. No. Stop.
Yeah. Now the, I can't remember where I saw it, but like I can't remember if it was the baseball team or the basketball team did say that they only planned on having 500 of them spread out through the stadium to keep in the guidelines of the CDC.
500? 500 of them.
Yeah, but to keep in the guidelines of the CDC.
Yeah, like, separated and everything.
Yeah. No, they are separated, too. They're social distance with each other.
That's fantastic.
But I guess it's just for the optics. It doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, to take it a step further, I don't know, maybe this will happen with your son with graduation coming up because the Japanese are using robots for graduation purposes.
Oh.
So they have a video screen that has an iPad as the face so you can see the person graduating, but it's robots collecting the diplomas.
Oh my God.
So I guess we're validating robots now. We're, you know, ushering them on like, hey, you've done it. Here's your degree.
I wish I lived in a small Tennessee town that could have robots. We would probably use like mules or goats or whatever. I live out in the country. So that would be the only way we would do that.
Yeah.
Like take some sort of farm animal that's very prevalent in my area. And
it kind of scares me that we're, you know, we're like the first thought to go, you know what? Let's just use robots for fans.
Yeah, right. I know that's, every time we get the Skynet stories, I get more and more concerned that maybe this is the turn of the key that we need.
Well, they just keep coming up with new ways to involve robots in everyday life.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's the problem.
All right. That's the good, the bad, and the dumb here on a Wednesday. It is Wake Up Call, SB Nation Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Call. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And again, glad you could be with us. And this portion of Wake Up is brought to you in part by Hims, the best choice in ED medication for men's wellness. Visit forhims.com/easy. That's forhims.com/easy. Michael on Twitter, does a robot fan rip off his outer tin sheath ceiling and run naked onto the court? Yeah, well, you're going to have to. Right?
If they'll be hard to catch.
If you're going to make them fans, then make them fans. Let them do fan stuff.
Do you put that ninja robot out there?
Yeah. Let them leave early to beat the traffic. I mean, do all those things that we normally do. If you're going to treat them like fans, just do that.
We're humanizing them. That's the slippery slope.
If you had a robot with AI, right, and you said, okay, absorb human nature and make decisions, How long would it take before a robot AI fan that you brought to games would start leaving in like the seventh inning of a 6-1 baseball game?
Yeah.
Or would you go,
what if robot fan, you said, hey, you got to be a fan of the Monkees.
Yeah.
And they're looking at it. I'm just going to throw a basketball team. Maybe it's like the Dragons or something. And what if they look at it and go, you know what? I really like want to be a fan of the Dragons.
Yeah, that's right.
And they just switch teams in the middle.
Midstream. Yep, that's what you got to do. That would be scary, right? We do all sorts of crazy stuff as fans.
You look at that and you go, you know what? The robot's thinking for itself. You know, you might celebrate it a little bit.
Yeah.
But then you realize the robot's thinking for itself.
And what if the Monkees had like a 70-5 record? Would it get a tattoo that claimed it was going to win the championship? Would it do that? Would it go, I already have a 2020 champions tattoo for the Monkees because they're so good. Yeah. Nothing bad could happen. And then we'd all be like, well, this guy's going to get it when they're upset in the playoffs. Like all the crazy things that fans have done.
He could have his removed, though, right?
Yeah, I guess he could. He's an AI robot.
Just need some stainless steel and just scrub it off.
You and I have been waiting for the one moment, the tipping point of the AI Skynet takeover, and the coronavirus could be the key.
It's going to be the key. It is.
Crazy road.
That's the new reality.
That is the new reality. It's nuts. Wake up call.